If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today, I'm eating Raising Cane's. I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle-cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
We're on the air.
Back. Well, party's starting early today, isn't it?
To more of Early Break.
Simple, you are an idiot.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Are you looking for an exciting new way to put your skills to work?
I am.
Explore new options in the fintech industry.
Finance.
Currency, a Sand Hills global company. They've got full-time spots in financial sales, compliance, operations, and other fields. 4.5-day work week, attractive benefits package, and opportunities for advancement. Visit gocurrency.com/careers to learn more today.
So out at Sand Hills Global, Mr. Governor, they have a 4.5-day work week. How sweet would that be as the governor? Yeah, just a 4.5. Doesn't probably work that way, probably, does it?
That doesn't go like that. It doesn't work.
How would you like
very
to have
good.
To have every Friday afternoon off and then the weekend off like
you know,
that? That would
you know, be... you know, I will just tell you, it's an extraordinary privilege getting to be the governor of Nebraska. I get to be around such extraordinary people, keep learning extraordinary things taking on place, but yet it's still, you know, still can't believe it. Yesterday morning, walking up the steps, had come in early from Columbus and, you know, just hit me and said, holy cow. You know, it's been over 3 years since transition and that this was imminent and still can't believe it. You know, there'll be moments go, wow, this is such an extraordinary privilege. We work very, very hard. I think the bottom line, you pray like heck to do God's will, be 100% positive and work harder than anybody else. And that's as long as I have the privilege, that's what we'll keep doing.
Yeah, I used to have the same feeling walking into Memorial Stadium.
Right.
Because I walk in there and I was able to coach there in three different stints. I walk in there sometimes and just go, this is incredible. How is this guy from Pender, you know, down here on the field or and working with Coach Osborne? All of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, I was in the office one time and when I was a graduate assistant and my parents had came up to see me for something. And Coach Osborne walked by and stuck his head in my mom is just utter shock like that. And I'm like, it's okay, Mom. He works here. It's all right. He works here. He's
the leader.
Yeah, he can go wherever he wants.
And it's so important. I talk about it all the time, the gift of appreciation, that we just never take things for granted. And you know, extraordinary moments. As a kid growing up, when Nebraska Coach Devaney would play Bear Bryant, we played Alabama in the Orange Bowl. And, you know, when we played Alabama in 77 here, I'll never forget, we're out warming up and I look over and there Bear Bryant is leaning against the goalpost, smoking a cigarette with his fedora hat on.
Whoa.
And I'm going, holy cow, I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm playing against it. Yeah. This is incredible. This is amazing.
Cigarette. God,
so
imagine
cool.
seeing Bear Bryant That's smoking awesome. A cigarette in the stadium.
In his fedora.
Oh, God, in his fedora.
Don't forget the fedora.
Talk about better times.
You had lost the opener that year. Yeah.
We lost the opener against
unranked.
Warren Powers. We came back and beat him. Alabama. It was probably coach's first signature big win.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, beat Alabama. Alabama was number four. You guys were unranked.
Right. Yeah.
31-24.
Yeah.
He was smoking a heater.
That would have been incredible.
That's the way it was.
I call that better times.
Oh, there's a lot of pictures. You see pictures of Switzer on the sideline smoking during the game, smoking a cigarette. Absolutely. Yeah. Way better times.
Who was the – when you watch college football, do you watch it through the prism of a – like you're a leader. These coaches are leaders. Do you try to pick up anything from those guys?
You know, I think that that's probably one of the things I love about college football is the coaches, because they are extraordinary leaders, you know, and that's why when I was on the Board of Regents, and the decision was made to hire Mike Riley. I about lost my brains because
wait a second, seriously?
Yeah, I knew exactly who he was, what he had done, and I said, you can't be serious. I found out at 10 o'clock at night. Said, you can't be serious. This guy has not won over 50% of his games. What do you think is going to change here? Yeah. And he's nice guy, pathologically nice human being, but no discipline, no accountability. And, you know, he shipwrecked our program.
Pat, okay, that was what you said that to me one time. You probably don't remember. You described Riley as pathologically kind.
Pathologically nice.
Yeah, and I thought that was the best description I've ever heard of him.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Yeah, and the point is, you got to have accountability. You know, Coach Rhule, his job as a leader is to hold everybody accountable. I don't care who it is on the team. If you get a bad attitude, if you're not providing leadership and you're a leader, you got to be held accountable. And if you don't want to, if you don't want to be held accountable or you don't like it, you don't play. And I don't care who it is. That is really, really critical. Doesn't matter what, if the expectations don't get met, you got to make changes. And, you know, that's, I would expect Coach Rhule's being a leader this week and holding people accountable, because they're, all you got to do is read some body language, and there was body language that was unacceptable for being a Husker. Anybody can be a leader when you're winning. What kind of leader are you when you're getting your teeth kicked in?
Yeah, it's really hard. And you talked about this. So nothing is, when I watch games, the number one thing I watch is body language.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch a team and how they play. And sometimes you watch a team. I'm watching Auburn play. They're not winning games. They're playing. I watch their team play. They play really
hard.
They
lost close games.
They lose close games. And they hang in there somehow. Right. But you watch the body language, how guys go on and off the field. I saw a returner the other day. The ball got into the end zone, slumped down, doesn't run off the field. And I remember what game it was. It wasn't a Nebraska game, but it's some other game I'm watching. And right away, it's like just how you take the field, how you on and off the field. Your body language says everything.
Yeah.
And as a player, it tells you if you're coachable or not.
Yeah.
And so what are they like? You know, Coach O used to always say, big eyes and big chest. Said it all the time.
if we got 2 minutes for this it's really fascinating.
Absolutely.
I share it all the time with because the phones and how we were missing out on life. Communication is 7, 38, 55. Have you ever heard that?
Say again.
7, 38, 55.
No.
7% of the words we use, 38% is how we say it, and then 55% is our body language.
Mm.
Before I learned that, I had no idea how my body language as a leader, what it said. And so the point is, I'll tell people, look, I can read everyone in this room exactly what you're thinking more accurately than if you texted me, because your body language is 55%. Yeah. The words you use is only 7% of communication.
Yeah.
That's troublesome in this day and age. It sure is.
Well, people
just want a text.
And the point is, you misinterpret what's intended in the communication. If anybody thinks I'm crazy,
I don't.
Just go check your last 10 texts and then call the person and say, hey, let's talk about that. And you'll find out, maybe not 93% off, but it's off. But the other thing that's fascinating, if you really get good at starting to read people's body language, you know, people lie all the time. You know, I mean, people tell me crap all the time as governor, but their body language can't.
Yeah, it tells you. It does.
7:38:55.
I like that.
7:38:55. It's really powerful.
It's good.
It's really powerful stuff, and it's more important all than ever. I tell kids all the time, because these dumb phones are really disrupting us. These dumb phones have messed with all of our lives. You know, we need more eyeball-to-eyeball contact, more communication, so we fully understand each other. Because if we can't look in the eye, we have no idea how much I care about you or you care about me. And that's the key with relationships, you know? We've lost that. We got to get it back.
You don't have your phone out, do you?
I don't keep it with me.
Yeah. See, once I... Also, if I'm not sure if this matters or not, Mr. Governor, but there's been kind of a history here of us giving out our personal cell phone numbers. Would you want to jump into that?
How many guys know?
Jim, would you like to do it?
I give my cell phone to gobs of people and say, hey, I won't I won't be able to, I won't pick it up, but I'll get to you tonight or whatever. But, and I'm never too busy. Some people will say, well, you're governor, you're too busy. No, no, that's not the case at all. The most important thing is to be engaged and interact with people. And that's why I appreciate the opportunity to be on, because it's important that people know who you are. I'm Jim. You know, I'm Jim. It's that, just that simple.
If you were doing a Zoom call with us right now, not near the effect.
It'd be different.
On our show, we do not, unless it's, I mean, sometimes there's times we have to do one of us remote, and we'll all three agree that it's not as good.
Yeah.
Because if it's not as good. But that's why all three of us, we're always in
the
studio.
We like being here.
It's really tough to be, I would imagine it would really be tough to do that FDIC that you do all.
It doesn't match up. There's a lag, for sure.
Jim, when everybody listening, there is nothing more fun than being in here when I hear FDIC.
Yes. it'll get better. It'll get better. You'll have to come in again.
You have to come in again. The next time you come in, you're going to be Randy.
You'll join us in the FDIC chant.
So sometimes, Mr. Governor, like that, I'll, a rare time if I have to be out for something, I'm in a hotel like that, I guarantee the person in the room next to me has to freak out when all of a sudden, Randy!
That's a bonus, Randy.
It's 6:45 in the morning.
Asshole as well.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Keep this going.
I'm curious, Governor Pillins, in terms of, you mentioned Matt Rhule a little bit ago, and he's obviously been the topic of conversation with Penn State. You don't like the midseason firings. We get that. Yeah. But he's still, per odds, one of the top favorites to be the head coach at Penn State. While I was coaching Nebraska, they're 5-2. This team has goals. They have aspirations to, you know, win 8, 9, 10 games, be in the playoff conversation by the end of November. You know, how does that affect you? You're the leader of the state. You are the governor of the state, and your head coach is a name considered at a different Big Ten school. How does that affect you?
I know this much about Coach Rhule. Coach Rhule's committed to what he's doing. He's committed to the day. He's an extraordinarily disciplined human being, and there's not a shadow of a doubt that he's putting everything on the line for these kids. He coaches because he loves these kids. He's an extraordinary leader. His communication that I've heard him across the state, it's authentic. It's genuine. He does not turn that on and off. I have absolutely zero worries about what Matt Rhule is going to do between now and the end of the season. Only Matt knows what he's going to do before that. I have no concerns whatsoever, what he's going to do. I believe he loves this place. I believe that Julie loves this place.
Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
He loves the people. And, this is one of the greatest places to live. This is one of the greatest places to coach football. Memorial Stadium. I mean, when I tell people from across, we've been sold out since 1962, and we've had some tough years. People just can't believe it. And countless people that come here walk away and go, this is unbelievable. So, I agree with Coach Rhule. This is a destination job. This isn't and it's awesome that we have a great coach that somebody else wants. Hey, those are awesome things, you know? It's kind of like, beef prices. Beef prices are not too high. We don't have to apologize that we're making money in Nebraska because cattle prices are where they're at. It's about time. You know, we have ranchers that have been driving tractors that are 50 years old. You know, we've got to start bragging a lot more about Nebraska. This is one of the best places in the world to coach. and that's what we're building towards, and we have a great leader to do that. Let's brag about the volleyball. Let's brag Absolutely. About our athletic department. Every girl, every young lady at the University of Nebraska will be on scholarship. There's no other program, no other program in the country that can say that. Go talk to ladies that have transferred to Nebraska. They are in awe. They are treated exactly like the star players on the football team. We do it the Nebraska way. There's no better place to be, and I'm confident Coach Rule knows that.
Did you? I mean, this is a big leadership week for him because of what happened. Did you happen to see his press conference yesterday?
You know, I saw a 2-minute clip where he just said, "Hey, it's I'm tired. I'm tired of an entitlement attitude." And hey, that's what you call it, right? And you know, seriously, Nebraska fans are incredible. Nebraska fans have treated players like they're all pro these last 20 years, even though they never did anything.
Right.
And so some of that can really make a make a difficulty to really get people to the level. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
it's complicated.
Kurt Cignetti did not have to worry about controlling his team because nobody cared until now. Right. Whereas our Nebraska, I mean, we have guys that have never done anything and never did, and they were adulated, and people were treating them like gold. So there's a fascinating complexity to psychology, if you will, of bringing the best out, because nobody understands what it really takes and what it really consistently takes on a day in and day out to get the maximum out of a player, to get a person to do way more than he ever thought he possibly could. And if somebody thinks he's really entitled, that's a problem. So yeah, I'm all over what I heard, because yeah, if you just think all you got to do is show up today, you're cooked.
Especially against a team like Minnesota that wanted it worse, probably.
Well, and there's just any team. There's no team. I mean, you know, Northwestern. You know, a month ago, you thought, well, that might be a gimme. Well, no, it's not a gimme.
Nope.
We had them ranked last in the Big Ten.
Yeah. The stool did.
The stool
not anymore.
Did. Number 3 weeks ago, we had them ranked last. We had them ranked last, and rightfully so, really.
Yeah.
And then they're not.
And that's the key, I think, where leadership is so incredible. Leadership's always mattered, but it even matters all the more now with all the parity. Whoever brings everybody to get the toughness of mind, bring the whole team concept. Yeah. I mean, think how the challenge of a team today is.
Oh, I believe that
with all the money
never
being paid,
money and different,
and so it really takes a lot to make sure everybody understands how important the team is. And the team's important from my view. When in government, whatever you do, whatever business you're in, team is everything. And if somebody doesn't want to be on the team, I don't care who they are. If it's more about me instead of the team, man, they need to go. It's got to be about the team. And I would imagine Indiana and Vanderbilt's got some magic really focused on team, and there's no BS between it.
Yeah. Northwestern would be an easy place to coach, an enjoyable place to coach, because no one is on Braun.
Right.
He gets to coach his team. He gets to bring them together. He gets to build, because there's no outside noise. There's not anyone really. When's the last time you got really worked up about the Northwestern anything?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
They have like three people that cover them.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And they're 5-2. Four straight wins.
And they're 5-2. So he can control the narrative and very
much
good.
Much easier.
This is what we're going to do. This is what we're doing. And that's worked for him. It really had. They went to Penn State and won. They still went. They went to Penn State and won, which
nobody
saw that one coming at all.
Well, before the Governor Pillen go, we got to play the game show. And you are a lifeline today, because this is right up your alley.
Okay.
All right? Today's I was changing up during the game, during the show. Today's topic in Shut Up Simple is Big 8 football coaches in 1978.
Oh.
Sounds specific. That's pretty specific.
Should nail this.
Well, you never know.
If you think you know your 1978 Big 8 football coaches, call us. Right now, 464-5685. Shut Up Simple starts right now.
We've all been there. You're listening to the radio, and then that rage starts to grow inside of you. It starts to consume you. It gets to a point where you just want to yell, "Shut up, Simple!" No, sorry. I'm sorry. Well, here's your chance. It's time to shut up, Simple. Call now to play. 464-5685. Shut up, Sipple. Brought to you by Bagels and Joe.
All right, 464-5685. Call the Dick Down, Sip, and Governor Pillen today is the lifeline. How do you feel about head coaches from 78?
Can Bill text me answers? Can you text me?
A second lifeline for you.
I think I feel good, but I'm out.
You have to feel good about this, Governor Pillen.
I don't know, Governor. What do you think?
I can remember a few.
Okay.
Well, I've got a great story for one of them.
Okay. So.
All right. Well,
I will give you the coach. You tell me what school. It makes it a lot easier that way.
This now will be it's a lot triple layup.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We have Derek in a car. Derek. How do you feel about 1978 Big Eight coaches, Derek?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I was 11.
Okay.
Hey, so I was 12, Derek. So, I was 12.
Thank you. All right, Derek.
He'd know them all.
First question goes to you, Derek. Here we go. What Big Eight team was Earl Bruce the head coach for in 1978?
Oh, layup.
Earl Bruce. You know, I believe Earl Bruce also coached at Ohio State. I'm going to say Iowa State.
Say that again. You cut out.
Iowa State.
There you go. Iowa State.
You guys are in for a fight. I thought that man was going to, it was a layup.
Well, he's my age. Derek's my age.
1-0 lead for Derek. Sip, first question. What Big Eight school was Jim Stanley the head coach
that's
for?
That's a little tougher.
1978.
That's a little tougher.
Hold it. 1970. Jim Stanley's the head. I'm out, though.
Governor.
Okay.
Lifeline.
Oklahoma State.
Thank you.
Oklahoma State is correct.
I was wondering, did Pat Jones come next after him? Is that when Pat Jones came in?
I don't remember the time frame. Jimmy Johnson was before that.
Yeah.
Wow. Good job, Governor. Okay. What's his name? Paul Stanley?
Jim Stanley.
Paul Stanley is the bass. Paul Stanley is the rhythm guitar for Kiss.
You've mentioned that name a lot.
Did the governor ever go to Mike Reiser's house for one of the GarageBand Kiss concerts?
I don't know if he knew the Reiser family, but he worked in the feedlots. Irv.
Irv was great.
You knew the Reiser's. Hold on.
I knew him really, really well. His son David did the our artwork on the outside of our building.
David, David used to lay face down in the yard. I never understood it.
What?
He did.
Why?
He was an artist.
An artist.
All right.
When Irv went into sale barns, the cattle price went up $10. So I think everybody would love to have Irv around today.
When Irv
offset the president's comment.
When Irv opened the door to his El Camino, the smell was ungodly bad.
he told us that.
His son would say, "Don't stand near the car; it's horrifying."
Was it like the sale barn he's working at?
Sure. Always buying cattle.
He knows the
risers.
This is God.
Right across.
Okay, game show's over.
No, we're going to keep going.
Okay.
Derek, for the lead. Yeah. What Big Eight school was Warren Powers the head coach for 1978? Derek.
Yeah, I got my own. He knows that one.
Well, that was Missouri.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you're right.
Yeah. It's a matter of fact.
So I get re-locked in here. This
he's got a story.
So a little heartache about Warren Powers. So Warren Powers was my coach in the second year at Nebraska in 75 and 76. He went to Washington State, had the throw in Simone. We upset us the first game of the year.
Yep.
And then the last game of the year of my senior year, he upsets us in Lincoln at Missouri. So Warren Powers gives me a little heartache.
Yeah, sorry to do that, Governor. Yeah.
The risers, though, that kind of cancels everything out.
That's true. All right, Sip, you're on your own.
Go ahead.
You're on your own for the tie. What Big Eight school was Bill Mallory the head coach for 1978?
The Buffs.
Yeah. Colorado.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. Let's do this. Keep going. Let's do all eight teams.
It's tiebreaker time, and we'll have you and the governor confer here on this one.
I'd like to confer with the governor. Okay,
there's a meeting right now with Sipple and the governor. What's wrong about that?
I think we could get this on the dot. Kansas State, how many wins did they have in 1978? The Wildcats, how many wins for K-State? You can confer with the governor here if you'd like.
So not many.
The head coach, by the way, for K-State was Jim Dickey.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, now, that's a clue.
I don't think they'd have had two.
Okay. I was going to say two, so let's go. Oh, you want to go one?
Yeah.
One.
Okay.
Are you kind of making the number pretty? You lost. You got, if one's not the number, you guys have lost.
You going one?
You sure you want to go one?
No, wait a second. Let's go two.
Okay, you're going two.
Yeah, let's go
okay.
two.
Okay, over under two wins, Derek, for a K-State 1978.
What was the guess?
Two.
Wow, gee. I actually think they won two, but I'm going to say over.
They were 4-7 in 1978.
Good year for Duke.
Come on, Dick, you had them to go in that year.
Well, they were 0-7 in the Big 8.
Yeah. Probably right. True.
Oh, man.
Derek, congrats. You're getting bagels.
Congrats. Thanks
for calling in. Nice win today.
Congrats.
That same thing
was a good performance, though.
The same thing happened, Mr. Governor, when we were playing Kansas and I was a GA, like in 91, and we got down like 14-0, and Devaney came into the press box. Bob was the AD, came in. What the hell's going on? Tony Davis had to calm him down. Where we are?
Tony was a GA?
Yeah, Tony was, and so we won like 56-14 or something like that. That was the final score. But Bob came into the press box. I'm standing next to Coach Devaney, and he's like, want some answers.
Yeah,
Coach
yeah.
Tony.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, Governor Pillen, we appreciate you coming through today.
I had a lot of fun.
Thanks. Oh, this is awesome. Practice your Randy. The next time you're up, you're going to have to get
that. You guys have a great day. Thanks for
having me. Governor Pillen, wonderful stuff. Hour 2, hour 3 is next. We'll have our power rankings for the Big Ten next on Early Break on the Ticket.